right? And but to understand that regain, you know, has in my mind anyway, is biology is what we want to call it. It's not because of moral failure or because somebody just became indisciplined as time went on, but there's biologic reasons why people regain, right? So yes. From hormonal shifts, you know, where leptin, for example, is a hormone that controls hunger, you know, it plummets. Therefore, people get hungrier as time goes on, right? And the ghrelin, which is the hormone of satiety, will also increase. And so now they're craving more. So they have more cravings, right? And then there's this metabolic shift that actually happens. We call adaptive thermogenesis. Adaptive thermogenesis is how our body or your body protects itself from excessive weight loss. When you're losing weight after surgery, it begins to dial down your metabolism.
Hey, it's Mel. Before we dive in, just a quick note. This podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. The insights shared by our guests are not a substitute for medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always consult with your healthcare provider before making changes to your diet, exercise, or lifestyle. Now let's get to the show.
Welcome to Our Sleep Life Podcast. This is Mel, your host. And today we are going to be talking to a doctor. I haven't had a doctor on in a hot minute, so I wanted to go over some things with him, especially the hot topics that are going on right now on social media and the news. So I want to welcome you guys on, Dr. Ibeivu. Thank you for coming.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Yes, I got to meet him at the POP event, the Beautiful Mind event of last year. So amazing, so knowledgeable. And then I'm going to be back this year too to be at that Beautiful Mind event. So I hope you guys join me too.
Indeed. And I'll be there too. So Houston in July.
Yes. So if you guys want to be get hot with us in Houston, come hang out. And Dr. Ibeivu, how about you explain, you know, like, what is your specialty? How did you get into that specialty?
Yeah, so it's great. So I am a gastroenterologist by training. And over the last decade and change, there's been the move in gastroenterology to non-surgical weight loss. And with non-surgical weight loss, I became super interested in minimally invasive ways to help people lose weight. So now I describe myself as an endobariatric gastroenterologist.
Okay. So what made you go into that field?
So gastroenterology first, the interest, you know, when I was in training, there's a great interest in the ability to affect different parts of the anatomy of us as human beings, from stomach to small bowel to gallbladder to the liver. It was very, very procedure-oriented specialty. So I just enjoy that. And then... Okay. The non-invasive, non-surgical approach to doing anything in medicine, I've always found that to be super exciting. And so when the options for non-surgical weight loss became a thing with the approval of the Obera balloon in 2016, it was just a natural fit for me. And then now, like I said, my practice has evolved into endobariatrics, where we're using endoscopy to affect bariatric outcomes.
Oh, that's amazing. So tell me more about that. What kind of procedures are you guys doing?
Yeah, so the endoscopic procedures that we perform for, so those that don't understand endoscopy, so endoscopy is not surgery. I like to tell people that all the time. It's where we use a scope typically when the patient is asleep, of course, go through the mouth, go into the stomach, and we can do a lot of things. So for people who have a normal stomach, for example, and they want to lose a certain amount of weight, the balloon procedures are great. So we have Obera balloon. We have the SPAT 3 balloon. Those balloons are placed endoscopically under anesthesia. It takes about 10 minutes to perform. And then we leave it in place usually for about 8 months, and then we remove it. So that's one minimally invasive option. Then we have endoscopic sleeve. Endoscopic sleeve is, in my mind anyways, the non-surgical version of gastric sleeve surgery.
Okay.
So whereas typical gastric sleeve surgery is performed through laparoscopy, endoscopic sleeve is through endoscopy. So there's a major difference in terms of patient's recovery time, in terms of complication rates. And of course, through endoscopy, we're able to make the stomach smaller by suturing the stomach from the inside. So we don't have to access it from the outside like a laparoscope will do. We access it from the inside through the mouth. And then for people who've gained weight, mm-hmm. after they've had gastric bypass or gastric sleeve, we have what we call endoscopic revision, which again utilizes endoscopy to reshape and restructure the outlet of the stomach and the pouch. So we're able to make those things smaller through endoscopy.
That's amazing, guys. So I'm 10 years post-op from gastric sleeve. Mm. And so I actually had the one where they take out 80% of your stomach, guys. I used to be 308 pounds. Today, I actually weighed in at 173.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's been definitely a journey. But now knowing 10 years later, there's so many different options that are not surgically invasive. So it's how many people do you think you see doing the balloon or doing the endoscopy revisions?
Yeah, so a lot. Of course, when we started this back in 2016, it was a very hot thing. And then, we had, a great number of people with a lot of interest. Mm-hmm. For people who've had gastric bypass or sleeve in the past and regained, which is a problem that affects about 30 to 40% of patients, it's a very frustrating place to be because for the gastric bypass patient, there's really nothing else you could do. For the gastric sleeve patient, at least they had the options in the past of converting to a full bypass or doing a duodenal switch. But now we are able to help even the gastric bypass patient who had no option before through endoscopic revision. We've seen a great number of interest. Lots of patients that come to see us in our practices in North Carolina from all around the country and literally from around the world. We've had people from the Caribbean islands. We've had people from Europe who've come to us to have these endoscopic options. The interesting thing is that even though it's such an innovative approach, it's not very commonly done. There are not a lot of physicians who offer this type of solutions to patients.
Yeah, this is, I've heard of this only maybe a handful of times in this past year in 2025 into 2026. And I'm liking that we're finding all these different ways to actually like help people get on their journey and stay on their journey. Because regain, it does happen. Like I even regained in year 8, I gained 50 pounds and now I'm 73 pounds down from that. So it's hard work and it's a lot of mental work, but also check with your surgeons because they might have something for you that can actually boost it and make things better for you. And I know the other thing that it's all over is the GLP-1s, right? Like, is that something that you prescribe in your practice?
Yeah, indeed. So if I may touch on Regain just for a second,
because
I think Regain is such a frustrating aspect of weight loss, because when somebody makes up in their mind to go have surgery or have an ESG, for example, done, and they are successful for a spell of time and then they start regaining that weight, for most people, it's like the last nail on the coffin, right? Because some people just don't recover from that. They can't mentally, because now they feel like they've failed, right? But to understand that Regain, is biology is what we want to call it. It's not because of moral failure or because somebody just became indisciplined as time went on. But there's biologic reasons why people regain, right? So from hormonal shifts, where leptin, for example, is a hormone that controls hunger, it plummets. Therefore, people get hungrier as time goes on, right? And the ghrelin, which is the hormone of satiety, will also increase And so now they're craving more. So they have more cravings, right? And then there's this metabolic shift that actually happens. We call adaptive thermogenesis. Adaptive thermogenesis is how our body or your body protects itself from excessive weight loss. When you're losing weight after surgery, it begins to dial down your metabolism.
Okay.
So if you are operating, let's say you recall, you were going at 90 miles an hour for metabolism. Now, when the body sees you that you've lost 50, 60, 70 pounds, it slows down. It's like you're seeing a speed limit. So, oh my gosh, if we keep going at this rate, we're going to burn out, right?
Okay.
What is called adaptive thermogenesis. So the body actually downgrades your metabolism as you lose weight. So your metabolic rate actually goes down. Many people don't know that. Yeah, and that's part of this is why we say regain is biology, it's not failure, it's not moral failure, it's not because you're such a weakling and you're such a bad person that you can't control yourself. No, your body is really in survival mode after a certain amount of weight loss, right? And then, of course, anatomy will adapt after a while. So even though you mentioned you took out 80% of your stomach, now, if we did an endoscopy on you, your stomach is no longer 80% smaller.
Right. No way.
Because the sleeve and the pouch will stretch over time. So your capacity will increase over time, right?
Right.
And then, of course, you know, the brain rewires as well. So our brains begin to rewire, the dopamine satisfaction from food and old habits begin to reemerge. Mm-hmm. These are reasons people regain weight. Many times, you know, people think they regain because they're just morally weak or they don't have discipline or they don't have self-control. And it's not really that. It's your biology that is fighting you. And that's going to get us swiftly into your question that you asked about GLP-1s, because GLP-1s are the only agents that can actually address that biology we just spoke about.
Oh, really? Oh, because, okay, first thing I want everyone to hear, did you hear that from him, guys? That this is biology, not that you're a failure, not that you don't have willpower, not that you can't do the things. I hear this all the time through the community. I've done it to myself where I've just beaten myself up thinking I'm an idiot. I'm so stupid. How did I let myself go? And it's like, you didn't, girl. Like, also 10 years ago, my biology was way different than it is now. Yeah. Right. Like, I'm about to be 40 this year. So like my chemistry, like my hormones, I'm in perimenopause. So yeah, like it makes more sense why it's not a failure thing. It's more of biology and things are changing. And now I know it's cause like even access weight, like a certain amount of weight, your metabolism is going to slow. Yeah. Like I've been doing this podcast for almost 6 years, doctor. And this is the first time I've heard of this. Like, well, you know, wow, this is amazing.
Yes, absolutely. This is a beautiful thing about understanding, right? So the more understanding we have, then the less we're going to be backing up the wrong tree, beating up ourselves, and understand, you know what, it's okay. Because now we have this understanding, we now know there's a solution. There are things we can do to address all those things.
And the fact that the GLP-1 is the solution. Can for those that don't know, because I do know, but can you explain what is a GLP-1?
So GLP-1s, of course, our bodies make GLPs, right? So they are these hormones that our bodies actually produce on a natural level that helps with appetite control, sense of fullness, and things like that. And so these GLP-1 drugs, which was made popular by Ozempic a few years ago, what they do, they augment what your body normally should be doing, right? So they are agonists, is what we call them in medicine. So they push it to do better, right?
Okay.
And so now they are different, you know, if you will. There's GLP-1 is the main class of drugs, and so that will include the Ozempics of the world, semaglutide, tirzepatide, and a new one that's coming out very soon,
retatrutide.
Retatrutide as well, that is coming up hopefully sooner than later. But the beautiful thing, you know, with all these drugs is that entry-level GLP-1, which is Ozempic and semaglutide, that's all they do. They augment GLP-1 receptors, whereas tirzepatide does that, but also works on a gastrointestinal peptide as well, which is a different receptor. And then the retatrutide is a triple agonist. So retatrutide is the most exciting thing that has happened to weight loss medications. I can tell you that, because it's the only one that is a triple agonist. And the studies on this new drug is boosting weight loss that is comparable to surgery, about 35%, which is incredible. I mean, even the current GLP drugs like tirzepatide, I'm only about 20-25%, and retatrutide is boosting about 30-35%. That's unheard of.
That's incredible, because I do my research too, guys, and I've learned a lot. I call it Retta, just to make it easier for me. It's called Retta, and I'm learning that Retta is actually helping with muscle too, where you don't lose muscle. It's helping you actually just lose the fat loss,
correct,
instead of attacking the muscles. So that's one of the other reasons, right?
Yes.
That it's worked so well. Okay.
Absolutely.
And now, are you prescribing these to your clients? And
so, you know, that's a great question. You know, whenever things like this come out, there's always the natural tendency for people to think it's going to be this or this, right?
Right.
Do I do this or do I do that? What we are finding, and what I can predict is going to happen within the next 5-10 years, is that weight loss medicine has entered the most transformative era ever with the introduction of these medications. Because now it's not this or this, it has to be this and this, right? So combination therapy is where we're going. Mm-hmm. In fact, that's where we are right now. That's what we're seeing. So I tell you a little quick story. So when GLP-1s first came out, right? I, as an endoscopic weight loss provider, performing procedures like ESG or balloon procedures or revision, the first feel amongst all of us that we're involved in this is, oh my God, what is this nonsense drug that is going to spoil our business, right?
Right.
And the surgeons felt the same way. If you go around surgical centers around the United States today, surgeries are down significantly.
Yes, they are.
In fact, training programs that train surgeons to do bariatric surgery, has many of them have closed, right?
Oh, wow.
Because of the advent of GLP-1s. That, to me, is the response when people think is this versus this.
Yeah.
Because truly, it's going to be different tools that we can use in combination for maximum and best results. So if somebody has surgery and gets on a GLP-1, that's not an evidence of failure. That's addressing biology, right? Because the surgery is doing something that GLP-1 does not do, and vice versa. So when you're using both, you're actually doing the best of both worlds. This is like, in your home today, I predict that in your home, you have a lock on your door,
yes,
right? I predict you have a camera. I predict you have an alarm system. Why don't you just have a lock on the door and forget the other two?
Oh, look, we need you around all the haters that tell us we're failures because
absolutely,
I'm using a GLP-1.
Yeah, because that's just human nature. Human nature says, if you don't buy my product and you buy the other product, then you must be a bad person.
Yeah.
That's just not right, right?
No.
So the analogy of securing your home, you lock the door, you turn on your ring alarm, shout out the ring.
Yep. Seriously, ring, you are helping so many people, you wouldn't believe it.
You turn on your alarm system, and then you go to bed, right?
Yeah.
When your grandparents or great-grandparents were here, they just lock your door if you're lucky, right?
Yeah.
That's it. There's no camera. But now we know that for maximum security, you have different layers. The same thing applies with weight loss, right? So surgery is a tool that's not going anywhere. I don't believe surgery is going anywhere. I don't believe endoscopic therapies are going anywhere. However, we must welcome these additional new options, because the truth is we've left many patients behind. Historically,
there are
many people we couldn't help. There are many people that their surgeon looked in the face and said, "There's nothing else I can do for you."
Right.
I mean, who wants to hear that?
I know. I've heard it, and it's not fun. It is not fun at all. You know, it is very frustrating because you're like, you're the doctor. Like, I'm coming to you for help. Like, you know, and I believe in that if the doctor can't do it, they'll find someone that can or, you know, they'll call someone and be like, do you know what we can do here and there? Like, that's what I want my doctor to do. Not just tell me like, sorry, there's nothing for you.
Yeah.
It's indeed. Very devastating.
And that's truly where medicine has been for decades up until now. Now there are lots of surgeons and lots of people that do what I do who will not embrace GLP-1s. They fight it. They want to tell you 10,000 reasons why you shouldn't be on GLP-1s. And I just don't see it that way. I think there's enough evidence, there's enough understanding of physiology and biology as to why these things have a great role, that we understand that using it synergistically is where we're going. So GLP-1s, do I use in my practice? 100%.
That's amazing. What kind of, like, because with bariatrics, you know, like they teach you a lot of different things. They teach you like the diet, what it needs to be like, portion control. They tell you how to eat like every few hours. Like, is there any kind of training or information that you give for GLP-1s? Because that's where I feel like the education is lacking, because, you know, people can buy these online. Like, even I have, like, I go through HealyMeds.com. OSLP 10, like, to get mine, because my health insurance doesn't cover it. They won't cover. I had my insurance changed to where, like, now they don't cover anything weight loss related. So everything's out of pocket. And so I'm very nervous for the people that don't have the education that, like, I have, because I've gone through bariatrics and I talk to people all the time. So it's like, what do you do in your clinic to make sure they understand what to do on a GLP-1? Is there any training?
That's a vital question, super vital question. So unfortunately, like you mentioned, these medicines are available on any platform these days. You can order it and never see a physician, never see a provider who understands what they're doing. And to me, that's the reckless side of it, right? The proper way to use these medicines is under medical supervision. That's the proper way to do it. Because number one, these medicines have side effects, right? People know, right? There's nausea, there's vomiting, there's dehydration that can happen, there's constipation that can happen. Having a physician work with you through it is going to be vital. So in my practice, that's one of the things we emphasize. We have a holistic care team that integrates in the care of the patient to where they're not just enjoying the results of the shot, but they're also understanding that at a certain amount of weight loss, we now need to start addressing muscle, okay? Because muscle loss, you mentioned that early on, is a real thing that happens. And when you lose weight and you lose muscle, it's not a good thing, because now you're more prone to osteoporosis and bone fractures and things like that that can happen. So it's the recklessness of people just, you know, taking the medicine without any guidance. Yeah. That's where the problem is. But that's like everything else, unfortunately. But I think that with practices like ours that truly integrate and help patients understand why they need us through the journey, we found that with that type level of guidance, having a dietitian team and the holistic care team that we have, you know, that when patients, because this is a question you may ask me, I may not ask you, one of the questions that I get asked a lot is, do I have to be on this drug for the rest of my life?
That's
a vital question, right? And I've had patients that have been on the medicine for a while, but I have patients that have also stopped the medicine and stayed successful because they were retrained on how to eat, on what to eat, and how to prioritize protein, how much protein they need each meal. That's not something that, you know, the FedEx driver will tell you if you're just getting medicine, right? So having that integrated approach not only allows you to do it safely, but allows you to be successful long term.
Yes. And I will say too, like, I've stopped it before and just to see like if it was going to do anything. And I didn't lose any weight, but I just stayed at the same, which is great to know that I can go into maintenance mode is what I call it. But yeah, guys, it's I just want people to know it's okay to take these meds. I think there's this huge stigma that we're failures or we're losers. We're taking the easy way out. Like, it's almost everything I heard when I got bariatric surgery.
And
it's just sad because it's like, I knew eventually the technology would catch up, right? Like, I've heard this since I was a kid. Like, there will probably be something when you're older that will help this. And here we are. We're finally here. Mm-hmm. And I think we just need to embrace it. Is there anything besides the side effects that we should be worried about with the GLP-1? Because some people are scared to take it long term because they're like, well, we don't know what this is going to do to us long term.
Yeah. No, that's a valid point. That's a valid question as well. And unfortunately, what we know is what we know, right?
Yeah.
So I've been around medicine long enough to know that a drug can be deemed safe today and unsafe tomorrow. Okay. So what we know right now is all that we know. So now we clearly know there are people who cannot take GLP-1s, right? So if there's a family history of medullary thyroid cancer, for example, that patient should not be prescribed a GLP-1 if there's somebody in your family that's had this type of thyroid cancer in the past. So that's important to know. The best medicine in the world is medicine you don't have to take. having said that, if I know that the the upside of using the medicine is great right now is greater than the downside of using medicine because of potential long-term side effects, we don't know what those are going to be 20 years from now, 30 years from now. But if we think from this perspective, now GLPs and GLP-1s are mimicking what your body already does.
Right.
Now think about that. It's just like insulin mimics what your body already does. So it's like saying, is there going to be something horrible that will happen to you if you took insulin for the rest of your life? The answer is no. We now have 700 years of data. That's not true, right?
Yeah.
Because your body makes insulin.
Yeah, so we're just giving you it.
Exactly. Yeah. So GLP-1, in my mind, falls into that category. Something our body makes. If it was poisonous to us and it's going to kill us, I don't think our body will be making it on a regular basis, right? Mm-hmm. So the fact that our body makes it and we're augmenting it gives me a lot of comfort and a sense of security that this, again, is like somebody who's pancreas is no longer making enough insulin and they become diabetic and the doctor prescribes insulin for them, or somebody whose thyroid is no longer making enough thyroxin and the doctor prescribes thyroxin for them. Hello.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to look at it. That's what it is here. So the GLP levels in our bodies over time begin to decline. And when you're using a GLP-1, you're augmenting it. You're exogenously giving what your body used to make it better, right? And again, we can go on down the road of estrogen, testosterone, same things.
I love how simplistic, like how simple this is, because it really is the fact, like, your body already produces it. Why not give it what it produces?
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of a duh, right? Like, it should not be a problem. Now, I know, and I'll be honest, like, when I first started taking semaglutide, I definitely had some, I had vomiting was the biggest one, nausea and vomiting. Like, I vomited at the airport. I vomited at the gym. I was like, I had to learn my body again because I realized that I had to eat before I worked out. Now, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I could not do that. And then I needed to go to, I could not, I had to eat and I had to wait like an hour or two to go to bed. If I would go to bed right after I ate, which was rare, but it did happen a couple of times, I literally have puked in the middle of the night. Because your body's not digesting it. It's not moving. So it stays. And then I would puke. So I had to just tweak some things that I was doing. And within a month, I was fine.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't puked in like 8 months.
So, you know, and that experience is very unique to you as well as unique to patients who've had like gastric sleeve in the past. Because the stomach capacity is smaller.
Yeah.
So yeah. If somebody has never had surgery before and then a GLP-1, yes, they can have similar side effects of nausea, vomiting, but it may not be to the extent that you're describing because they have a normal size stomach. Because one of the things that GLP-1 does is it decreases or slows down your gastric emptying time. So it takes time for much longer for food to leave your stomach to get into the small intestine. Mm-hmm. So because of that, that's where the nausea vomiting really comes from, is the food stays in the stomach, which is how it works. Food stays in your stomach, it sends message to your brain that you're full because you are, and therefore you eat less.
Yep.
However, the side effect is that people can start to vomit. Now, in our practice, one of the things that we do is always make sure that we are starting at the lower dose and slowly, yeah, incrementally increasing that dose to where it's effective. So titration of dosage is important. And to me, the goal is not max dose. The goal is effective dose, right?
Yes, thank you. Thank
yeah, you. Absolutely. So I have patients that never reach their max dose. Never. They lost 50 pounds, never had to get to the max dose. Why push it to the maximum dose? Because you understand, the more you give something, the higher the chance of side effects, right?
Yes, yes.
So if you can get the same bang for a lower buck, why pay twice? Why pay more, right, for the same thing? You know, so those experiences are very common to what you describe, especially people who've had surgery in the past. And therefore, that's where that dose titration may be a little bit different. That's where, again, going back to medical supervision comes in play, because there are things that can be done to minimize those type of side effects so that it doesn't become a reason to stop the medicine or even develop a more serious medical side effect or issue from it.
I love that you're talking about that, because I hear this in the community. It's a little scary of, we'll just keep upping my dose so I can lose more. I just keep upping it, keep doubling it. And I'm like, it scares the shit out of me, because one time the company was like, are you sure you're not ready to up your dose? And I I kept saying no for a while. And then I was like, yeah, let's try it. It was like, yes, 2 months later. No, made me sick as a dog. So yes, I was like, no, no, no. And even to this day, so I've been on a GLP-1 for a year and 3 months. Mm-hmm. And I still only take 30 units.
Wow.
That's it. It's not a lot, but it's enough to where the whole brain fog
is what you
gone.
Need.
Yeah. And I was like, you know what? Because people were like, you're really still on 30 units? Like, they think I'm lying. I'm like, no. Like, yeah, I will show you every time I take it. Like, it's not a lot, because if I don't need to go up, why go up?
Yeah.
Right? 100%. But then you have people with the mindset of all or nothing, and they're like, yes, well, I'm not losing anything, so let's just jump it.
Yes.
And that could be, very detrimental on your guys' bodies, guys. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to be careful.
100%. I 100% agree. Yeah. More is not necessarily better.
No, it's not. It's not. So, and I see the people that are had bariatrics and then a GLP-1, it's really working out really well for these people.
Yes.
And so now with people that don't have, haven't had a sleeve or any of this kind of stuff, how are we seeing their results? Do we know what's going on with them?
I'm telling you, the GLP-1, I mean, all you need to do today is turn on your TV and look at people that have been famous for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, the American demographic is changing
quickly.
And I'm talking about from a weight perspective.
Right.
So yeah, GLP-1 is absolutely helping people who've had surgery or people who've not had surgery. And I always tell folks, I don't look at GLP-1s as weight loss drugs. I look at them as medicine that actually optimizes your sleep, because you start sleeping better. It optimizes your blood sugar control, so your blood sugar is not going all over the place. I look at it as a blood pressure medicine. I know you're like, what is a blood pressure medicine? Indirectly, because how many people are on GLP-1s have lost 50 pounds that have come off their blood pressure medicine?
A lot. Mm-hmm.
So it is an effective blood pressure medicine, right? Because I thought the goal was, when somebody has a disease, is to treat it so they can go free.
Yeah, yeah.
But in the practice of medicine in America is let's manage it so you can stay on it forever.
Correct. Anyway, I know. It's
don't get me started on that one.
I know, because that's the deal. Is like, do you think we'll ever get to a point where every J. Joe's can just buy this? Because That's the problem that I hear now is like, that's why I have a discount code, because we can't afford it. You know, it's just, it's so expensive.
Yeah, indeed. Well, listen, unfortunately, there is a system that benefits from people being sick. That's just the truth. And again, this is not about, you know, losing weight just to, for this, it's about getting healthier. It's about being healthier. It's about feeling better about yourself.
Because there's nothing
as powerful as a patient who can look back at themselves and say, and you know, for example, I got this text message from a lady that I had ESG with me about a year ago. And on the text message, it was her wrist. She took a picture of her wrist and sent it to me. I'm like, what?
You're like, wait a minute.
Yeah, I'm like, what's going on here? And then she waited a few minutes and then she texts back and she says, I can wear a wristwatch again.
Oh, I love that.
Think about that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's tough that you don't think about, right? That she's able to put on her watch and get it on her wrist. She says, I've not worn a watch in over 10 years.
That was so cool.
Man, that was, for her, that was a celebratory moment of, wow, I'm taking myself out shopping this weekend because I can put on a wristwatch.
Mm-hmm. She can go look at watches.
I mean, stuff like that, it, you know, obviously excites me, super excites me, because number one, even though I know that what we do is meaningful and it's impactful, but when you understand and you get that kind of testimonial about how something as simple as that affects that person mentally, you know what that
it does?
It shut up their level of confidence. Their self-confidence has just taken a boost because they were able to put on a wristwatch.
I love that. I have two favorite ones. They're both bathroom ones. One, the towel. Oh my goodness. When I could finally use the hotel towel, I was like, yes, this is insane. It fully closes and you can't see anything. Like, that was insane. And then, like, I was big enough to where when you would stand in the shower, I could feel
the
liner in the wall. Yeah. And once I couldn't feel that anymore, I was like, I remembered like doing a full 360 and I'm like, nothing touches. Like, this is so cool.
Wow.
That was one of my favorites.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, thank you for sharing that and for your transparency there. That's incredible, because I'm seeing what you're seeing as well. And I'm like, you know, these are things, even as a provider, I don't think about those type of things.
Because
I've never been that heavy, you know. Mm-hmm. So when people describe those type of things, I remember a gentleman who, you know, well known in the community, he came to me. He didn't want any, like I said, he didn't even want his wife to know he had ESG.
Oh wow!
Yes,
okay.
That's how this guy was, right? He didn't let his kids know. He didn't let his wife know. Nobody knew he had ESG. But that's one of the beauty about ESG, because you can't go. You can't have surgery and people don't know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Someone's got to know.
If you have gastric bypass surgery or gastric sleeve surgery, somebody better know, because you need help.
Yes. Yeah.
The beautiful thing about ESG that makes it different is that we're able to literally suture the stomach today. Mm-hmm. Patient goes home today and go back to work on Monday.
That is amazing.
That's a 2-day downtime.
Yeah.
And that's how this guy runs one of the biggest companies in our city, and he came to me. It's almost like the story in the Bible where it says Nicodemus came to Jesus by night.
That's what he did with you.
He came to me by night.
Yeah.
You know what, everybody know he was there. He was undercover, right? He had his hoodie on, came through the back door, and we went through his ESG. He had his ESG done. One of the things he told me that really impacted me from day one, he says this to me. He says, I have not been able to take family portraits in years because I hate the way I look.
Yep.
See, every time my wife says, let's take a picture with the family, I find an excuse not to be there.
And now.
Amazing. I mean, just think about that, right?
Yeah.
So, but that was his story. He didn't want anybody to know. He didn't want his wife to know. He came, had his ESG, lost about 70 pounds. And of course, I don't like that. because I can't use them as a testimonial. I don't really like that, but I get it, right?
Yep.
And I said to him when I saw him on follow up after a while, I said, so what are you telling people? Oh, I told him that I joined the gym. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me.
Right. You're like, come on, bro.
I'm like, you're telling me, came to me. Of course, the gym is wonderful, has its role, has its place, but diet and exercise alone will get you to about 3 to 5% weight loss.
Right.
GLP-1s can get you about 20 to 25% weight loss. Mm-hmm. Surgery, ESG, can get you about 25 to 30% weight loss. Right. So it's incremental. So it's not that diet and exercise are not important. They are. However, if somebody is at 300 pounds, losing 5% is great, but it's not going to move the needle that much.
It's just not enough, especially when we are that big. Yes. Like, we need way more. I remember my knees being achy, my back being achy, just, you know, and I live in Oregon and there's a lot of fun, like hikes. You can go camping, there's beaches. Yeah. And I remember just trying to climb up a dune once and I had to keep stopping. And my husband at the time and my kid were like way far away from me. And they're like, are you okay? And I'm like, just get in the car. I'll meet you there. You know, and that was tough. And I was crying. I was sweating. And then, like, you know, after losing over 100 pounds, I'm like, I can walk up this dune. No problem. Nice. And and I went back to that dune. It was like, all right, let's do this, you know, like just to see. And it's like, no, you can. Yes. And it's just, it feels like now I can live, right? I felt before like I just wasn't really living. I was just existing.
Yes.
And I just want people to feel the same and not feel ashamed that they are using GLP-1s or like any of the procedures or surgeries, because like it's necessary. And now we know obesity is a disease. Yeah. Can you speak to a little bit about that, about how obesity is an actual disease?
100%. Obesity is a disease. So, like I keep saying, it's not moral failure. It's not because somebody is just not disciplined, or it's truly a disease of metabolism. It's a biologic disease, and it does have an ICD-10 code, right? So there's a code that we use for obesity because it's classified as a disease. So I'll always tell folks, you know, if somebody were to tell you they have high blood pressure, and they're taking medicine, are you going to say, oh, you're weak, you should control your blood pressure by yourself? Why are you taking medicine for blood pressure?
No. Never.
No. If somebody said they have diabetes and they need to shoot insulin every morning or 3 times a day to keep their blood sugar controlled so they don't die from diabetic coma, you tell them, oh, how weak you are. I control my blood sugar without doing all that. I just need to join the gym. Really? No, it's a disease. So you got to treat disease alike. So when people are obese, we have to treat it. But society, unfortunately, does not do that. Yeah. And but again, that's where education comes. That's where transparency comes. That's where, you know, I'm super excited when celebrities that have been on GLP-1s are speaking about it openly because they have so much influence. There's so many people that look up to them and they say, wow, if Serena Williams can be on a GLP-1, maybe I can be on a GLP-1. If Oprah Winfrey can take a GLP-1, maybe I should be on a GLP-1. And the people who are going to, you know, shoot their lips at you, regardless of what you're doing in life, somebody's not going to be happy about it. So at the end of the day, you have to identify what makes you the best version of yourself. And you have to go for it in spite of, even if it's your husband that doesn't want you to do it or your wife that doesn't want you to do it. You know how many, oh my Lord, how many women come to me, right? They're 250 pounds. They hate themselves. They can't walk into a store and try on any clothes because they're so embarrassed that it won't fit. And we have that discussion and they say, oh, my husband doesn't want me to have a procedure. And I respectfully say, this is about you. It's not about anybody else. It's about you. And you have to take care of you.
Perfect. So really the last thing that I wanted to touch on is, if someone, say, is right now listening to us, they're 350 pounds, what do you suggest that they, what should they start doing?
Man, that's a loaded question, right? I can tell you what they should not do.
Okay.
What they should not do is nothing, right?
Yes.
You cannot do nothing because if you have 350 now, a year from now, you're going to be at 375.
Yeah.
So doing nothing is not a solution. That's number one. I always tell patients in real life when I consult with patients, I say, I don't care if you choose what I offer you or my solutions, but do something.
Okay.
So something is better than nothing. Now, when it comes to doing something, the question goes, what is going to be very most effective? Right. Because, you know, if I had a scent for every time somebody said, oh, I'm going to walk more, I'm going to watch what I eat. Oh, my gosh. I mean, like, no, we've gone through that. Watch what I eat. Join the gym. Get excited. Go to the store. Buy, you know, some athletic outfit and wear it twice and never go back.
Right.
Enough of that. Right.
Yep.
So let's go to solutions. Right now, I would say that 350 pound person, oh, number, it's not even about a number, right? So somebody could be literally be 180 pounds and absolutely feel like they're not themselves.
Yeah.
Because they've always been 120. So that extra 60 pounds is killing them just as much as the 350 pound is killing that person, right? So, looking at solutions is, first of all, you educate yourself. What is possible? Days are gone where you thought surgery was the only option. It is not. That's number one. So if surgery is not the only option, what else is there? There is medications we've been speaking about today. There is non-surgical weight loss we also spoke about today as well. So non-surgical weight loss include balloon, endoscopic sleeve gastroplasty, and also includes bariatric revision for those who've regained weight after gastric bypass or sleeve. Okay, medications are the GLP ones. There are newer ones that are coming out, but what's in the market right now? Ozempic, semaglutide, even though Ozempic is approved for diabetes, not for weight loss.
Right.
People use it for weight loss as well. But purely from a weight loss perspective, semaglutide, or Wegovy, as it's called, tirzepatide, are the two that are currently FDA approved. So I'm going to speak only about those two.
Yep.
So those two options are available many places around the country that you can get on it. Now, it also depends on how much weight a person needs to lose. Like I've said at the beginning of our conversation, we've come into the era where it's combination therapy versus monotherapy. So it's no longer this or that. Many times we have to look at this and that, right?
Okay.
But doing nothing is not an option. For some people, they have to walk before they run.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to get a comfort level. So that's where a lot of my endoscopic patients come from. They don't want to take that drastic step of surgery. They don't want to do something that is so permanent and permanently altering like surgery is.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to do a procedure like ESG where we can modify the stomach, but it's also potentially reversible. Surgery is not reversible.
No,
right?
It's not.
So for some people, they have to kind of, you know, test the shallow pool before they go into the deep end. And that's fairly good because surgery is not for everybody. ESG is not for everybody. Some people are at the weight where maybe medicine alone will be effective. Some people are going to need my services with ESG or with balloon. But some people are going to need full-blown surgery because they are 450 pounds. And now not only would they need surgery, but they will need surgery and probably a GLP-1. So, the most important and most powerful thing that anybody who's listened to us will recognize today is that there are solutions, they are available, and there are people that do this well, and you just have to find the right providers that you feel comfortable with and get yourself into that program. And while you're there, while you're going there, please understand this. The people around your life, they love you, they care about you, they love you. I cannot deny that. But you know something? They also love that this version of you.
Yes, yes.
And if you don't love this version of you, it doesn't matter who loves it because it's never going to work. you have now. So when people say, no, you're fine, you look good, no, no, don't worry about it, everybody in our family is big bone, they just tell you they're comfortable with who you are. And if you evolve and become the other version of yourself and you gain confidence and you get a better job and you get better opportunities, they may not be too comfortable with that. And that's what people fight.
Oh, yeah. I've experienced it. I've seen it. It's very interesting because you're right. They love who you are now, but they are also very scared of who you might change into or if you're going to change. Does that mean they have to change? You know, I lost people a lot because they had to do their own reflection. And they thought I was like judging them by their food that they were eating, the drinks that they're drinking. I'm like, dude, I don't give a shit what you're doing. Like, it's just, I'm caring about me. Like, I'm just making sure I'm not doing that. Like, I just was in LA for a week and like, I'm not a drinker. Yeah. And people are like, well, what are you going to drink then? I'm like, iced tea or water. And they're like, you know, it was just like for them, they're just like, what? You know, and I'm like, yeah, guys, like I'll drink like once this week, but that's about it. That's like, right. I don't like how it feels.
Yes.
And it was very interesting to watch grown men look at me and be like, oh, I guess you can say no. And like, it's like, yeah, you don't have to just do what everybody else is doing.
That's right.
And I've noticed that sometimes when you like, I was a catalyst sometimes for people where like, I was like, yeah, I'm not going to drink tonight. I'm just going to wait for like the last night. And then other people are like, oh yeah, I should probably do that too. And then I'm like, yeah, like we have to work in the morning, guys. Like we have to be up and out and in a trade show by 8 a.m. Like, why are we going hard, you know, the first night we're all together? I get that we're all excited, right? But also, like, we need to prioritize. I prioritize myself now. And before I didn't. I would just be along for the show, did whatever everybody else did. And now it's like, no, like, I'm actually going to do what I want to do. And if that means I'm going to bed early, if that means I have to go to my therapy session and not do this, then that's what I'm going to do now. Because I've learned, I said yes to too many things and I was a people pleaser and I just got to 300 pounds by doing it. You know, people buying me drinks, people giving me food. And it's like, yeah, I can't do that anymore. It's just not feasible. So, well, I'm so happy you came on the show and we got to know more about you. Guys, you can meet him in person at the Pop event in Houston. I'll have a link to the tickets on my website. Pop is a sponsor of OSLP. We have been together for quite a while. I love Laura and the whole crew. They really built something very beautiful over there where they're making sure we're taken care of pre-op, post-op, whether that's bariatrics, weight loss, or even plastic surgery. So go check them out. They have a free community. You can do a free one-on-one consultation with them. I know that Dr. Babu is part of them. So it's just so cool to have such great people that actually care about you, like out there, because like it's hard to find. Trust me, I do message lots of different types of people and you'd be surprised who actually responds and doesn't respond. So I just wanted to thank you for coming on and doing this with me because not everybody does.
Thank you so very much. It's been a thrill and thank you for what you're doing and how you are impacting people. You definitely are. And, these opportunities to have this conversation is definitely going to help somebody out there. And you and I may never know who those people are, but we know that we're doing God's work for sure.
Yeah, if I can just help one person, man, that's all I want to do is just keep helping. And guys, you guys know my drill. This is the ending of all of the shows. You guys have to make sure you get the water, you get the protein, you get your sleep. Sleep is very, very key. And I'm going to talk about sleep next month. It's very important. And don't forget, you got to get your vitamins in. It's just a must. It's a non-negotiable. I'm with ProCare, so get your ProCare vitamins. It's OSLP. And lastly, don't be an asshole to one another. Have a great week and be kind.
Thanks for tuning into our Sleep Life podcast. If you found this episode helpful, make sure to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with someone that needs it. Remember, small, consistent steps create lasting change. I'll see you on the next episode.